Andy Kendi, KTV Sports Director.
You guys are looking for some place to eat on Christmas Eve. You get McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Right.
And you think the candy. It's a marathon, not a sprint, my man. Like, they don't think about the local sports anchor when scheduling these things.
Andy Kendi, KTV Sports Director.
I was actually thinking, hey, does that 30% coupon I got from Kohl's, was that a fire jet, or can I go get a couple new ties?
It's worth trying.
Thank goodness gracious.
Spring them in, the Big Daddy.
I got a text from Corey last night, which is unusual, but I just want to see the whole collective unit. Nasty. How many times do you get a gift card you don't know where the heck it went, right? I'm just pining for a sitcom.
That's right, everybody. Welcome back in. Joining us very graciously on this fine Tuesday, Andy Kendi. Andy, how are you today, bud?
Vers, happy baseball season, my friend.
Happy baseball season indeed. Did you go out to the game last night? The Royals versus Royals?
I was there for pregame.
Okay.
I was there for pregame, and then I was in studio for the late. But my guy who went to cover the actual baseball game said it was the biggest crowd, and the numbers backed him up. The biggest crowd in Warner Park history. Said there was people everywhere.
Is that, Andy, is that something that's viable to do? And I don't know why they wouldn't do it every year. Does that make sense? Maybe, you know, you have the other club head down and you know, you play at a different location, maybe. I think that's just good for the organization.
Oh, absolutely. And we did get a chance to talk to Dayton Moore in the afternoon. You know, they brought a whole bunch of Royals to us to do some interviews yesterday afternoon at Warner Park. And Dayton said that he wants to do that with every affiliate at some point. Now, you know, during the season, it's not that realistic to see you're going to disrupt a baseball season to go play your, you know, double A affiliate down in Arkansas. But at least the way this worked out, the semantics and the timing of it, it worked out great. Cause you know, the Royals played last night and then they just go down to Kansas City cause their opener is Thursday against the White Sox. Now it's a little more, you know, logistically challenging for the Storm Chasers. Cause I believe they flew back to Arizona to finish up their spring training. They don't start for another week. So, and their home opener isn't for another 2 weeks. So it was just kind of a little splash of baseball for the professional level here before it really gets cooking.
Yeah,
you know, here down the line,
it is, and it is a weird. It's just a weird start. I understand why. You know, I'm a Cubs guy, so I got the same 2 week travel before I fly up to Chicago. And the past 2 years it's happened, it's like, okay, well, it's worse the day you schedule the game than it was if you just let them come up here right away. It's like, hey, let's just play this. But this preseason stuff and all that, I'm in on it because I know the guys got to get into shape. But some more organization in that to kind of get a more uniform run at it here, I'm in favor of as well.
Yeah, and you know, I was talking to my fellow Cubs fan and co-worker Tyler White, who was the guy who was shooting the highlights for us last night. He's our photographer, and he is a huge Cubs fan, and he says that, you know, his routine is, you know, the Cubs open on a Monday, and he always has Monday off, and he's a little upset that they're opening on a Thursday against Texas, so he's got to rearrange his personal schedule, you know, to juggle his Cubs schedule with his work schedule this year.
Hey, if he wants to, he can catch the late flat out Sunday. We got tickets for the game. He can come watch the home opener.
That's terrific. Now, the home opener, I've been to Wrigley, you know, I grew up in suburban Chicago, and I don't think I have ever been as cold at a sporting event as a fan as I was a few times in the month of April when it's overcast and maybe a little drizzly. That is about as cold as I've ever been to watch a sporting event. I went one time for a birthday event, and I tell you, the only bright side of that whole day was talking to Ronnie Woo Woo.
Yes.
And I will tell you how that day went.
Yeah. So was it before or after Ronnie Woo Woo came under some heat there for a while? They're trying to get rid of him, which
that was pre-heat.
Yeah,
pre-Ronnie Woo Woo heat. It was probably at the height of his woo wooness.
He's just a harmless guy. He just, you know, it's just Ronnie Cubs, being woo. Ronnie.
Now these poor people listening to us are going to have Cubs woo Cubs.
You are correct though. I've I'm on year 23 of the home opener. And I've been there in rain, snow, not hail. We haven't had hail yet. God, knock on wood, no hail.
Yeah, knock on wood.
It's been 70 and it's been 40. So I've literally seen it all. The good part about it is it's my safe space. I go there, and right. Baseball is great. I love watching baseball games, but I also get a lot of cool cocktails, and we just have a good time. Sure. Just hang out.
Where's where's your pregame jam? Do you go to Murphy's Bleachers, or what do we do?
You know, bud, we go to Bernie's.
Okay.
My crew I roll with, and it just dawned on me yesterday, so I'm 23 years. One of the gentlemen turned 70 that goes with me. And I was like, bud, we've been going to this thing for a while. Like, you were my age when we started this. But, yeah, he's
right. He's
the king of the castle. We roll around. But so it's gone from me kind of herding them around. Not really herding them, but, you know, us in a bunch. And I'm like, okay, no, that girl doesn't want to talk to you. Hey, don't fall over.
Just stand upright. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. You want to be there right at the end, right?
Well, it's another one. It's like, hey, you know. Or 40-second screwdriver before the first pitch probably isn't a good idea right now. Like,
right.
We're all pretty banged up. Maybe we should all slow down for this one, but no.
Yeah, I kind of got a reality check the other day, Verz, when I was looking at that Mike Trout deal. And not just, I mean, obviously the money's obnoxious and ridiculous, and he's worth every penny, right? If somebody's going to pay you the money, I never talk ill of somebody who gets a big contract, because you know what? If somebody's willing to pay it, then you're worth it. But the length of time on the contract, I'm like, 12 years. In 12 years, add 12 to your current age, and you're like, whoa, man.
Yeah.
I hope I'm still upright when Mike Trout, when people are ripping Mike Trout's contract and Mike Trout for being overpaid.
And, bud, if I'm Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, I'm like, hey, give me one of them Bobby Bonilla deals. Like, pay me out for eternity.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
Yeah, I know.
Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid.
It's the greatest thing. I talked about Marshawn Lynch and Rob Gronkowski earlier, how they just live off their endorsements. They got all their contract money. Bobby Bonilla. Sure. You never look at Bobby Bonilla and be like, man, that guy's a rocket scientist. But, yeah, still paying him to this day. Been retired for tens of years.
His agent, and that's not even to say what kind of pension money he gets from the the bigs, too.
For sure.
Service time or whatever. Yeah, and you want to get down in the rabbit hole. You Google Bonnie Bonilla's contract, and there's plenty of documentation of what kind of sweetheart deal that is. That is one of the greatest sports contracts from a player's perspective in the history of sport.
I'd put Steve Young up there because he's getting paid by a league that doesn't exist.
That's a good point too. and the other contract was the defunct teams from the ABA when they went to the NBA, were paid not to join, and they got a piece of the TV contract. That contract has since expired, by the way. So the Spirit of St. Louis or whoever else was involved in that, the Kentucky Colonels and those guys are now no longer getting paid, but they got a chunk of the TV contract every year, and it worked out to be millions and millions of dollars.
Good move. It's always when the players win one, it's always a good thing. Andy Kindy, KETV, joining us here on Game Time. Andy, you know, we're all just standing around to wait. We all think the writing's on the wall. We're waiting for just the presser. I've ranted about it quite a bit. To me, this doesn't look organized. It doesn't look like it was well thought out. I think out of respect to, you know, the coach, you have to have this plan in place. It has to be executed flawlessly, and away you go. And I haven't gotten that. As each hour passes, I'm like, okay, boys, somebody's got to pull a trigger here. Either we're staying or we're going. Let's get her done. Where are you at on all this? Do you think I'm creating just unnecessary drama?
I think with a complicated matter, what complicated matters was the Hank Bowens announcement yesterday. I think no matter what.
Yeah, what was that?
If they had made the decision yet. Complicated things, because I just don't think you would announce the future of your basketball coach the same day as your president stepping down, you know? So I will agree, it's a bad look, and every day and hour that passes is makes you more confused and wondering what's going on. But ideally, when the dust settles, that there will be a plan in place, and it's just a very strange time, especially because, you know, it was after the Big Ten tournament came out and that statement came out, and you're like, okay, well, at least there's a statement. Going to revisit and reevaluate after the NIT goes. But now it's like, okay, well, now what? And the Hoiberg thing comes out in terms of they reportedly reached out to him. He was reportedly firm and final in that being the next head coach. And now Then you get the curveball with the Alabama job opening up. Obviously, that's not going to happen anymore because Iowa State locked up their basketball coach with an extension just this morning. So now what? So I think it's just a troubling time, but ideally this thing gets wrapped up in the next 48 hours where we'll have some kind of clarity. It's a bad look, though.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. It does seem unorganized. When national media are piling on,
mm-hmm.
That's never a good thing.
And we're used to them. You know, we're used to them piling on. Nebraska has, you know, a football program. It's like the basketball program is like, hey, we're not that good. Just leave us alone. Like,
right.
We got it. We got right. The extinguishers on the dumpster. Like, leave us alone for a second.
Right, and poor Nebraska basketball fans, you're like, fine,
yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do something. We're gonna go in the right direction, and then, man, we can't even get this right. You know, it's
but
like, come on.
We talked to Nebraska ball Mike yesterday. It was I was fearful for the little guy. He was pretty shook up both ways about it. So, hey,
therapy is a good thing.
Yes, the bounce situation. Had there been rumors or rumblings of that, or is that just out of the blue?
From what I understand, that the daily grind of the job, it just wore on him. You know,
really?
People who are much closer to him than I am said that the day-to-day, you know, 60 to 80-hour work weeks and all that stuff, it just got to be enough is enough. And I think, it's a tough gig, you know. He's part of his job is to go to battle and make sure the budget's are approved and avoid, you know, cutting not only programs but jobs and what have you, and that's a tough deal to be in charge of. And with a job that great comes great responsibility. And I think he's just like, you know what, took a look in the mirror. He's what, 51, 50, just past 50. He's got two kids in high school. He's like, you know what, let's take a step back and reevaluate. And you can't, you know, for what he did for Nebraska athletics, I think should not be forgotten. And I don't think will, because he was a very big supporter of the athletic program. And you know, without him, Scott, I honestly believe without him, Scott Frost is not the coach here for football.
Really?
I think so, because, you know, he was the one that pulled the trigger on getting rid of Sean Eichhorst.
Yeah.
During that, and he did the whole evaluation, went through the whole process, and then, you know, he goes out and gets Bill Moos, and then Bill Moos gets Scott Frost. And, you know, obviously, the first time around, when Sean Eichhorst was looking for a football coach, he didn't even consider, didn't even give Scott Frost a phone call, according to Frost at his first news conference, remember? So, you know, Hank Bounds has been a huge athletic department supporter, especially football. We've seen him time and time again on the sidelines before games, interacting and hosting mm-hmm. recruits. And, when you have the president of the university system, the president of Hank Bounds being one of the most powerful guys at that university, and he's willing to give up, you know, make small talk with recruits and their family. I mean, that's
a big deal.
That's saying something. That's big. So not every university has a guy like that.
A little of that Southern flair, but then the work week ground him down. It ain't a clever slogan. We ain't for everybody up here in Nebraska. Andy Kindy, KETV. Andy, thank you, buddy, so much for the time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce. Have
See
a good one, man.
You too.
Go Cubs. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's – I mean, I don't know what you – that gives me more questions. Like, what do you think you were signing up for here, bud? Putting work up in there. Once I hit the lottery, and I'm out. Just like we are to break. 1620, 1620zone.com and 1620zone app. Game time.